I hope this message doesn't wear you out. I hope it gives you life. I won't go long. You know, just a few hours, that's all. It's going to be rest. Hopefully it'll be rest for the weary. I know being in the Lord's presence is certainly rest. Rest for the weary, and that's what God calls us to do. But I want to start with a very familiar passage out of Matthew. Matthew 11, verse 28. We're all familiar with this passage. Maybe it was in your devotions this week. Okay. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." We know the scripture very well. And we know we need this. Every one of us. We get stressed out by life. Things happen. And you know what causes you stress in life and what you find difficult. You know what steals your peace and overwhelms you, past and present. You know what sometimes even has stolen your sleep, where you can't even sleep well at night, or wakes you up in the middle of the night. You know that sometimes not having enough, lack, gives us worries and fears. Certain oppositions we face in life where it seems like the enemy just has it out for us. All the negative things that keep happening. The news, just reading the news, watching the news. It's enough to depress you. There are many things that we cannot control in life. Oh, we wish we could. We wish we could change things. Some things we can change. Many we cannot. We cannot control. And they wear on us and they overwhelm us. And it feels like it's just this heavy, heavy burden weighing us down. And sometimes we don't know what to do, or we feel like we're just not going to be able to carry on. So we learn the things that we cannot control in life, and we know that problems and troubles will come our way. We've lived long enough to know that. We realize that life has its troubles, it has its problems. Even Scripture tells us that. We're not immune. And yet here in this Scripture, Jesus says that His yoke is light. The burden that He carries and that He puts upon us is very light. Not like the world. It's easy to bear. And was to ever make us stop and say, "Lord, I think I'd like that yoke. I think I want that yoke. But I don't think I have that yoke. It seems like my yoke is heavy and burdensome." But God has a yoke that's light and easy to bear. It's a promise that He gives us. And this scripture is a promise that He gives us. He says, "I will do this. I will do this." He has something for us. And He says that He will restore our soul. Which reminds me of Psalm 23. Immediately I think about Psalm 23. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know, you could say it with me. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake." That's God's desire. He's a shepherd. He wants to shepherd our lives, care for us, watch over us, bless our lives. He wants to lead us to still waters. He wants to lead us to places that refresh our soul, because He knows that we need it. He knows we have souls, we have mind, will, emotions, we have this inner being that needs refreshing because we come into conflict, we have issues, we have problems. We worry about this and sometimes we'll worry about that. But I don't know about you, I need refreshing. Oh, I need refreshing. Sometimes it feels like I daily need refreshing, Lord. But sometimes it seems like burdens are heavy. My soul needs refreshing. It needs restoration. And we know that the things of life cause weariness. It can wear us down. Whether it's the grind of work, maybe it's the needs all around us, problems in families, personal unmet needs, living in a world that's running away from God, not towards Him, the list can go on and on and on. And sometimes it feels like it is. There are seasons in our lives where things are falling more apart than they are coming together. And it seems like we're losing ground. Things that we've prepared so well for and planned so well for. But those plans aren't seeming to help us in times when we're actually having great needs. But the promise is still true. Now, there's a command in this promise, and this is very important. We have to hear this command. Jesus says, "Come to me." See, we have a responsibility here. It's very important. It's an imperative. This verb is an imperative. It is a command. And yet, at the same time, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to come. But it does mean that we have to get up on our two feet, maybe literally or metaphorically, and come to Jesus. Because we find our promise in Him. And also, being the fact that it is an invitation, it can be turned down. And it often is. This promise is often turned down, even in the body of Christ. When it says, come, people don't come. People stay where they're at. And sometimes they stay right where they're at, in their problems, in their burdens, trying to figure it out. And sometimes it feels like, have you ever felt like that you're just kind of going in circles, round and round and round, and you're wearing the carpet out because you're doing a nice circle in the carpet? Well, whether you want new carpet or not, I don't know, but you probably don't want to go round and round because you know what that feels like. It's like chasing your tail. Nothing ever gets done. Nothing ever gets really resolved, but a whole lot of worrying does get accomplished. See, one thing Jesus wanted to do was He wanted to free people. That was the anointing and the yoke that He had been given by the Father, was that He was anointed to preach the good news. He was anointed to set the captives free. And part of the setting of the captives free was saying, come to me. Come to me, because for in me you will find your freedom. We find Jesus constantly having compassion upon the masses. He heals them. He blesses them. He feeds them. He teaches them. He teaches them about the kingdom of God. He teaches them a different word or gospel, we could say, than, say, the Pharisees who were teaching the law and adding to it and adding more to it and adding greater and greater burdens to the law, to where the people couldn't possibly ever accomplish, never could. But the burdens just kept getting heavier and heavier and heavier. And Jesus says, that's not the way. That's not the yoke you want to have upon you. My yoke is light. And so He teaches this in that context, talking about His yoke and the yoke of the religious Pharisees. And so we know religion doesn't set us free, but God does. God doesn't want His people to be heavy and heavy laden. He doesn't want people to have the yoke of slavery. See, all throughout the Bible, we see that God sets people free. He's setting people free from the yoke of slavery to, maybe it was the Egyptians, maybe it was to other nations, a literal slavery. And sometimes it was a slavery to the yoke that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had placed upon the people. But whatever yoke it was God who is setting people free and calling people to freedom. So Jesus says, take His yoke, not the yoke of the Pharisees, not the yoke of slavery, not the yoke of bondage. Take His yoke upon us. Now, if you're not sure, might as well ask the question, what is a yoke? It's not a part of an egg. That's what I think when I say yoke. And it's not something we really use today, not in our culture, but in cultures some still do. But a yoke is this wooden apparatus thing that is mounted on animals who are plowing That's what it's mostly known for. And it connects to animals like oxen, and it connects them together where they cannot be separated, so that when they plow the ground, they pull together. So their strength is not in one, their strength is actually multiplied in two, that together they pull, and actually they can do more, two can do more together than two can apart. I don't know if you know that, but two together can do more work than two apart. I think there's something that's true about being yoked and going the same direction and having unity in the Spirit and unity in God. There's something very powerful in that. That's not my sermon today, but there is something very powerful in that. So farmers had these oxen, they yoked them together, they plowed the fields. And oftentimes what they would do is they would take an older ox and pair it with a younger ox. Because the younger ox may not know the ropes yet, may not know what to do, but when it was paired up with an older ox who knows how to do this job, the older ox leads and guides and directs and helps really teach the younger ox to do the work, to do the plowing in the field. And they can't go separate ways. They have to go together. And that's what it means to be yoked. To be yoked together, to be bound together in a purpose like plowing a field. So the analogy simply is that whatever you're yoked to, whatever we are yoked to in our lives, will guide our lives, will direct our lives, will have great impact upon our lives. And sometimes when we feel like we want to pull free, we can't, because we're yoked. That's what bondage and slavery is like. That's what addictions are like. You're yoked to something. You can't pull free, even if you want to pull free. If you're yoked to anything, it will dominate you. This works in, we say, good ways and negative ways. And if we're, you know, a people who are in love with the world, anybody who's in love with the world is yoked to the world, to the ways of the world, and will be led by the ways of the world in their life. They will live that out, right? And we've seen that in our own lives. And sometimes we've recognized the things that we've been yoked to, and we've had to ask God, Lord, unyoke me from this bondage. May I find your yoke. So Jesus says, because he knows that throughout the world and everywhere we look, there's people yoked to something. It's not God. And they're being pulled along in life. Sometimes they don't even realize it. Maybe it's running the rat race in this world, trying to make enough money, trying to make enough to pay your bills and to do this and to do that and to do everything that you're told to do. You know, I went to public school, I went to college, and you just kind of, I did everything I was supposed to do. Of course, we even know today that doesn't always work, because you can get to the end of your college years and say, oh, no job, no job for you. But there's lots of school debt for you to be burdened by and yoked with for the rest of your life. The world provides burdens, and even heavy laden burdens. And can even make people want to give up on life because they believe they're doing what they should be doing, and yet it's not working. It's not working. But Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Let me teach you my ways. That's what Jesus is telling us. He wants to teach us his ways, because we've all learned ways of the world and how to do things. And there's things that we even need to unlearn and say, Jesus, teach me your ways. So he says, learn from me, receive from me, become a student. Literally, he's calling us to become a student of a rabbi, of a holy, righteous rabbi, and to grow in our personal knowledge of God. And how do we do this? Daily. You know, you don't just get yoked for one day, and then that's all good, and then you're off to the races, but it's really a calling to daily life with Jesus. And how we approach this relationship with God is important. We know that. You know, Jesus talks about secrets that are hidden from the wise of this world, which means, you know, coming to Jesus to many is foolishness. It's foolishness. Why would I come to Jesus? I'm doing this in this world. I have this thing going on, and I have my plans happening. We see that the Pharisees, it was foolishness for them, and they were highly learned people of their day. And the verses that really precede this verse in 11:28 is 11:25-27, the three verses that precede Jesus' call to come to him speak about how we should come. It says this, it says, at that time, Jesus prayed this prayer to the Father. It says, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things, these truths, from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So when Jesus says, come to me, that is a relationship language. That is a relationship language. To know the Father and the Son. To be in relationship, to learn from Jesus. And it tells us that who is able to do this? Well, the Pharisees were not able, because they were the wise and the learned. They knew how things should be, and what Jesus was teaching was not what they were teaching. So who is able to know Jesus? Certainly not those that are full of themselves, because the scripture tells us that. Certainly not those who have it all figured out. Not those either. And certainly not those who make their own way to God on their terms. Well, those are not the childlike. Those are the ones who are childlike in their faith, in their approach, in their trust of God. See, it takes childlike humility. We know that. It takes childlike humility to come to God, to submit ourselves to Him, to realize our need for Him is great, and we don't have it all figured out. We learned that a long time ago after making a whole lot of mistakes, that we don't have it figured out. And He knows far more than we do, and He can do it far better than we can. And so we have things to learn. So as I was preaching last week, I said, it's a good place to come to in prayers. And so I pray more this way. God, help me grow. I need to grow. I don't know what I don't know. I haven't learned what I need to learn. And Lord, sometimes I need help unlearning some things that aren't helping me at all in life. It takes a childlike humility to come to a place of how much we need God. And what we need to learn, and we learn it at His feet, submit it to Him. You know, it's easy simply to miss rest for our souls because of our simple pride, our simple lack of recognition of our need, our need for Him, and what He can supply for us, and to come and submit ourselves to Him. You know, yokes are places to learn. And Jesus tells us that the burden is light, and because the reason is He's carrying the load. He's carrying the load because He can. And we know that coming to Jesus doesn't mean that all problems just all of a sudden go away. But we can handle our problems in a much different way when we're not fretting, when we're not worrying, we're not fearful, we're not just all undone by the things that are pressures that are coming against us. Sometimes we have to make changes along the way. Sometimes we have to stop relying on certain things that we're relying on, but they're failing us. And we come to rely more on Jesus. And we come to listen to His voice and what He says, because what He's saying is something different than what the world is saying. And what we need is something different than what the world says we need. You know, we want God to solve our problems, but sometimes we avoid the yoke. Say, God, solve my problems, but I don't want the yoke. But He says, come. Come to me. Your problems don't get solved overnight, but if you'll walk with me, if you'll have a relationship, if you'll learn from me, things will change. Things will begin to develop differently in your life. And you'll see things differently. No problem is too big for God. But God has to work some things in us as much as He has to work some things around us. But He has to work in us first. That's generally just simply where He starts. You know, sometimes we find that we do need rest. And yet we find ourselves restless without peace. You know, a nap's not going to do it. In fact, we can't even take a nap. We're so bothered and worried. And we're not submitting ourselves to God. And sometimes it's the case that we're mad at Him because there's troubles in our life, and these troubles are continuous. And they seem to be pressing us harder than they've ever pressed us before. And we're mad at Him. Because sometimes we're like, God, why do you allow troubles in my life? Why do you allow these problems? And sometimes we have to be careful because in these places we can do our worst. We can do our absolute worst. If we look at the example of David with Bathsheba, he was kind of in that place. He was in a place, if we think about David and what he did every year, he went out to war. He went out to war. And David, since his teenage years, was a warrior. He fought giants. He fought armies. He led armies. And he had many, 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 many years under his belt of fighting. He was winning many battles. God had favored him, and they were winning many battles. And the kingdom was growing. The kingdom of Israel was growing. But he had many battles. And so David chose one season not to go out to war. He was tired. He wanted to rest. And he stayed home. He stayed home in his palace. He laid back to get some rest. And maybe that's not such a bad thing. But it wasn't just the rest he needed because he was restless. He was restless. We find in the Bible, and we read in 2 Samuel, that he was in his palace and he physically was getting rest. He woke up from a nap. He woke up from a nap. So that's a good thing, you know, getting some rest. But he woke up from a nap and he started wandering around the balcony, overseeing some houses below, one of them being Bathsheba. And we know the story. Bathsheba was bathing herself. He saw her and he didn't turn away. And he began to think in his restlessness and his wondering that she'll do. Oh yeah, she's beautiful and everything, but it's not that he didn't have supply in his life. He was a king. He had all the supply he needed. He had 3 wives. He had 10 concubines. I mean, he's like, what were you thinking, David? But he convinced himself in his restless soul that she was the answer. It was her. No, I need her. I don't need what I have. I don't need the supply that God's already given me. I need something else. Have we ever convinced ourselves in our lives that we need something else to supply and help with the restlessness in our soul? Weariness leads to restlessness. And if we get weary in our soul, sometimes we'll begin to wander around and we'll begin to look for things. And we'll begin to convince ourselves that that's it. I need that or that or whatever it is. We can convince ourselves that it's that next thing. So wandering around aimlessly can do a lot of harm. You know, people who with weary souls, they can wander right into bars at night and find themselves stumbling out, believing that they need it just a time at the bar. Sometimes they can wander. People can wander onto the internet and find pornography and think that will satisfy me, or at least in the moment. Some people can find themselves buying something that they can't afford, but figure that, oh, I'll make payments. I'll make payments for the next 10 years. Some people wander around looking for something to replace what they already have because what they have no longer satisfies them. That's life. That's wherever we look, all we look around, and things that we've even experienced in our own lives because we're thirsty and hungry for something, and in our wondering, our restlessness, we can look all kinds of places. We can look to satisfy our soul. But that's why this command is so crucial and so important. When Jesus says, come to me, don't go to the bars, don't go to the internet, don't go on a shopping spree that you'll regret later. Don't go and do something rash that you think that this in the moment is going to do it. People go to casinos. People do, you know, put the lottery. People do all kinds of things. People try drugs for the first time. It's endless what we can believe. But Jesus says, come to me. That's a good thing to remember when those times of restlessness hit us, because the weariness of life has really piled upon us. We've got to know that what I'm called to do is come to Jesus. Leave everything behind. You think you're busy? No. No. Don't be yoked to a schedule that says you got to do this, this, and this, and this from 7 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. And just get running, 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 running. You know, there's days when you need to cancel appointments and say, no, I feel the weariness of my soul. I'm going to spend all this morning. I'm going to spend the next several hours. I'm going to give it to Jesus. I'm just going to go worship. I'm going to go pray. I'm going to go spend time with the Lord. Because there's nothing that your work can do. There's nothing that another person can do. They cannot reset your soul and give you the replenishment that you really, really need. See, a temporary pleasure won't do that. A higher status in life or social status won't do that. Because the fun wears off, the glitz and the glamour wears away, and you're left with the same soul that you had before. So we must take the words of Jesus seriously. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. So we come. We don't come in pride. We come like in this childlike faith, this childlike trust, and saying, Lord, I'm just going to sit at your feet. I'm going to spend time with you because that's exactly where I need to be. Bishop Augustine of the 4th century said a simple quote. He said this. He says, you, God, O Lord, have made us for yourself. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you. Such a simple quote, but such a simple truth. We can look far and wide, up and down, and yet we will not find the solution for a restless soul until we find him. And then he says that, seek and find. Seek, come after, come. Journey, get up, leave your place. Leave your place of worry. Leave your place of fears. Leave your place of remembering all the bad things in life and all the troubles in life. He says, come to me and trust that being yoked with Jesus, he will lead you to pathways of righteousness and restoration. God provides rest for the restless. And promises restoration for our weary souls. And he tells us over and over again throughout the Bible. Can't read all of the scriptures, but I will read Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16. He's speaking to a disobedient people, to a people who had turned away from the Lord, who wanted nothing to do with God, and they were worshiping every other god under the face of the earth. Except the living God. But this is what the prophet Jeremiah speaks to Israel. He says, this is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Stop. Look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, this is not the road we want. That was a disobedient people who turned away from God. And the prophet had to deliver harsh, hard message after hard message because they were refusing to come. But the instruction is at the crossroads where you could go the wrong way, and they were, ask God, show me the pathways of righteousness. Show me the pathways that lead to you. Show me so that I would walk in them. Teach me your ways, O God. We hear that throughout the Bible. Teach me your ways, O God, so that I would walk in your principles, your precepts, according to your word, that it would be life to me. So we ask, Lord, we want your ways. God cannot promise rest for those who choose their own way, to choose the way of destruction. God cannot give rest. He doesn't force people to rest. He doesn't force us to rest in him. But rest is waiting for all those who look to him, who take his yoke and let God lead them to restoration. So do you ever find that your soul is weary? Do you ever find that you need rest? Is your soul weary today? Sometimes it's that problem that's not yet been solved. It's that issue that continues to bother you because it doesn't go away. And you've prayed. You've prayed over this issue. You've prayed. And it's still not resolved. But there's something we must do. We must come. We must come to Jesus. I don't know how many times I can say that being in the presence of Jesus changed what was going on in the inside. It didn't change the problem. It didn't change the circumstance. Now, sometimes those do change. But what needed to change first and foremost was me coming to Jesus with my weary soul, with a downtrodden heart. And from whatever that came from, I needed to go and spend time with Jesus. And I can tell you over and over again, it's amazing when you can come in one way and leave another. Come in burdened, heavy laden, and leave with hope restored in your heart, even when the prayer hasn't been answered for the change that you were hoping for. But the change happens on the inside of us. So if we can get that orchestration right, we're much better off as people of God. And we need to share that with others. You're wanting God to do this, this, and this, and he can. And he will, but first he wants you to come to him and be restored in him, to find your rest in him, to be replenished in mind and soul and your inner being. Don't wait. Don't wander restlessly around, hoping to find an answer where there's not a good answer. So if you're weary today, schedule an appointment with Jesus. Put him on your calendar. 8 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. If you wake up and can't sleep, I've had to kind of learn in my own life, it's like, Lord, it's 4 o'clock, I can't sleep. I don't like that. But then I've also learned that the best thing for me to do is just go pray. Go pray. Go spend time with the Lord. He'll make up the sleep later. But go spend time with him. Set time aside. And don't, a 10-minute devotion won't do it. We can't microwave God time in a 10-minute devotion. Because the kind of restoration you need for your weary soul, it's going to be hours. So give yourself hours. And sometimes it's days. Because it's the retreat that you need to go ahead and set. You've thought about it. Oh, you know, maybe I'll go up to the mountains. Maybe I'll get a quiet cabin somewhere. Maybe I'll just go somewhere where people can't bother you, that you won't have lots of busyness, and you get rest for your soul. Because what you're bringing is your Bible. You're bringing worship. You're going to bring time to spend with the Lord. Maybe it's going to be some great fellowship you're going to have. Maybe it's a retreat that you need to take, a spiritual retreat. Maybe it's something that you just need to get with God, some time that you haven't set aside in a while, but you need to set that time aside. Pray. Sometimes our prayer lives are about praying for the world and praying for everybody who needs this. That I'm not saying that's bad, but do that secondary, because that sometimes can take over our prayer life too in a way that we need to meet with God in an intimate way. Not just give him a whole list of things that need to happen and accomplish and people that need healing and people need prayer and all that kind of stuff. Do that secondary. But first, find the restoration of your soul that is needed. So that when you leave, you'll have joy. You'll have the joy of the Lord. You'll have the goodness of God. And you'll have to do it again. You have to do it again. Right? Because when we come, it's not just a one-time thing. But I can say it makes all the difference in the world when we have that. And when you reconnect, if you haven't connected with God lately in that way to reconnect, it's easier. I think it becomes easier and easier and easier when we have that consistency with the Lord, that time that we get away with the Lord. And we don't let the cares of this world just take that over and steal it from us. So I praise God that he's waiting for you. He just says, come. And if you'll be obedient, and if you'll trust, there's refreshing living waters waiting for you. And your soul will be restored. And he will lead you. Allow his yoke to become upon you. Because it's his desire to shepherd you, to love you, to bless you, to strengthen you. When you're weak, oh, he loves that. He loves weak people. He can do a lot through weak people. But it's when we're yoked with him